It's interesting how much a part of our lives is involved with mystery. If you checked out the songs that were sung today, the holiness of God certainly impacts us with the mystery of what that means. And the love of Christ was called a mystery in the song that was sung this morning. We'll never quite figure out why God loves the way He loves, how He could be loved like that and just at the same time. I don't know how many are followers of mysteries. You might be in your, if not in your reading, then your TV watching. There's really those shows like CSI, you know, there are mysteries. Find out who did it and put together the puzzle. NCIS, Monk is more lighthearted in there. Columbo for the old-time TV crowd there. And how many are In Search of Bigfoot? How many like that one? Okay. No, there's a few hands on the right. Okay, a mystery, something about a mystery that gets you in awe and puts the limitations on your knowledge. And still, you can pursue that which is mysterious to you. Anybody who's seen the birth of a child, you know, walks away in awe. Says, wow, this is fantastic. And I don't really understand all the implications of this little one who was not here and now is here. How did that happen, you know, in God's providence? Or the passing of a loved one. All those mysteries. And God Himself, a lot of His character being a mystery to us. Certainly one of the most beautiful mysteries in the Bible, besides the cross and resurrection centered around Jesus, is the one God revealing Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you have one, then you have a unity in a plurality, you might say, of who God is. And we don't quite understand it. Deuteronomy 6:4, for example, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and love Him with all your heart and soul and strength." And, you know, an Orthodox Jewish person still recites that twice a day, just to focus their heart and mind to say, hey, there's one God, I want to be giving my life over to Him in every way possible. And so when God introduces Himself to us in the Bible, really does so through from Genesis to Revelation, He does that by the Father sending the Son sending the Spirit. But Keith Green, a songwriter of a number of years back, said, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and giving your Spirit till your work on earth is done." And the old Gloria Patri song, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be." There's some excitement there about, hey, God was this way from the beginning. It never was any other way from before time, and will be so when history ends and on out into the infinite future. So that unity there in God Himself, when it comes to living in unity in a home, if you'd like that to happen, or at your work, or at your church, or with your friends, there's no greater example of unity than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are one as one can get. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." He says, when I'm not here physically, I'm going to send my Spirit, and then it's going to be to your advantage. So Ephesians, at the early part of this chapter 4, when Paul starts talking about how to live out all the gifts God gives, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So unity from God, connected to Jesus, is something that's really God's will for us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer thought about the Lord and thought about you and I, and he said this. He said, you need community because God is a community. That's the way he looked at it. He said, you need community because God is a community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, connected. Jesus would pray. He said, Father, make, looked at his disciples, Father, make them one. As we are one. So Jesus is saying, boy, I reach out to the Father. We're one. I want, Lord, your people to be one and one with me like I'm one with you. That is a tremendous togetherness there that seems to be supernatural and beyond all human engineering. Okay, only the Lord can bring it about. Only He could establish that type of thing. Jesus keeps praying in John 17. He says, Father, you and me, and and I in them. May they be brought to complete unity that the world might know that you sent me. So it's almost like a evangelistic, built-in apologetic when God's people know the unity of being connected to the one Savior, Jesus. It's like an unstoppable living relationship with the Lord that He would give us. John Stott, when he thought about the unity of the body of Christ, said this, something incredible. He said, the unity of the body of Christ is as indestructible as the unity of God Himself. It's a pretty dramatic statement. It's no more possible to split the body of Christ than it is to split the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you get a sense of that togetherness that Jesus brings about. We belong to the Lord. We belong to one another. And the Lord, what does He say about that unity? He says, make every effort to maintain that which God has given you. Put your heart and soul into the unity that God gave you as a gift. Work at it. Put time into it. Put effort into it. In any relationship you want to see work. In other words, go well. Even I found if I'm not unified with a person, if I draw close to God, all of a sudden I have a greater desire to be in unity with them, at least in terms of showing Christ's love. So even if the guy's lost or whatever. That Christ brings a heart-to-heart issue between ourselves and others. In my own family, the four of us, like any family, about once a week, there's a squabble about chicken or hot dogs or whatever it's going to be. And so I want to get involved in that. Okay, make every effort to maintain unity. Someone said that good relationships are like a garden. You know what happens to a garden if you leave it go for a day? It gets dry. Gets weeds, the rabbits come and start eating all the good stuff. Every day, work to maintain the togetherness that God has given you with your brother and sister in Christ. If you don't, you're going to have a mess. So work to maintain that unity, and God would do that for us. He tells us some ways to do this. Verse 1, live a life that reflects your calling from God. Live a life that is worthy of the gifts that Christ has given you. You're living like a believer. Verse 2, be completely gentle and humble and patient toward each other and bear with one another in love. I love those words, gentle and humble. Same two words Jesus used in describing Himself in Matthew chapter 11. He said, hey, I got this yoke on with you, and I'm gentle and humble in heart. So when we are that way, when Jesus builds that character into us, we're more likely to maintain that unity, gentle, humble in heart, toward one another. It's a strength under control kind of thing. It's a patience thing. It's love waiting for one another. And I saw, it was shared a couple years ago, the example of a gentle and humble in heart guy with one of the families in our church who went to Samaritan's Purse down headquarters down in North Carolina just to see how the place worked. And who did they happen to run into at the headquarters there of Samaritan's Purse was Franklin Graham. Hey, Franklin Graham, he's a nationally known, internationally known Christian leader. He's running a whole organization, a pretty busy guy. But they said, happened to be the Himmler family, hey, can we get a picture with you? And you would think Franklin said, hey, can't you see I'm trying to, do all this work over here? He said, sure. And they got a picture, next to Franklin and just a couple of friendly words of greeting there. And an example of being humble and gentle toward one another. And I thought maybe one of the family members was carrying that picture around in their purse, but that's not the case. It's on the refrigerator at home, second best place. But to work to maintain that unity, And it's because of Christ, which we're going to see in just a little bit here. In fact, right now, on the screen, a couple of things that might help you work to maintain the unity that God gives us as a gift. And you'll see it's only in Christ Himself. Unity from Jesus. The reason it's from Jesus and it's in Him is because it shows that we've experienced, when we receive the Lord, we've experienced the greatest miracle that can ever occur to anybody when we're born again of His Spirit. I mean, we could be cured of something that would affect us for 40 years. That would be great. We want that to happen. But when you receive Christ, man, you go from hell to headed to heaven. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. That's a fantastic miracle that we share in common. You have these recovery groups which are terrific. You know, we're walking in sobriety from alcohol or something, or cancer folks in recovery. Can you imagine the unity they feel? Hey, we made it. We made it through. And the unity believers feel, because they all experience the greatest miracle anyone could ever experience, receiving Christ. So it's unity from Him. The oneness is from God alone. He makes us one body, from one spirit. It's not a man-made unity. I'll point that out from the beginning. As, for example, it's not something we can engineer through a false faith. You might have heard of the Zen Buddhist who went to a hot dog vendor. And he went up to him and he said, can you make me one with everything? Okay? And we're not talking about that kind of unity. There's a lot of theology in there. You've got to think it through. One body. That you belong to the body of Christ. You think of those 14 nations or more that were represented when the church was born in Acts chapter 2. One Spirit, that every believer has the Holy Spirit working through us. One hope. I think of, again, Nancy Cumming. In her last 2 weeks, she thought almost every hour of heaven. You know, the assurance. Jesus is with her now. Jesus would be with her when she left her family. One hope. What unity God gives us. One Lord. To say Jesus is Lord. I'll confess, in my life, when I was a young Christian, I loved and I worked to maintain the unity of the Spirit. In other words, if there was two or three other Christians around, if they said Jesus is Lord, I didn't care how old they were, how young they were, where they went to church, I was all in. Unity of the Spirit when I was a young Christian. I do confess that the older I get, and sometimes you get these quirks, you know, when you get older, sometimes the more carnal and cranky I get in some issues. And I'm less likely to be unified now with some believers. Nah, I'm not going to go to that meeting. So-and-so, I know what they believe, you know. Meanwhile, I'm going to spend eternity forever with the guy, you know. But I'm going to forget about Jesus being Lord. I'm going to try to create my own unity. That's an unhealthy thing. And even in your own relationships, you move to others by saying Jesus is Lord to your own soul. One faith, both in content and, hey, you know, we pretty much all came to Christ the same way in terms of. We had to say, I can't save myself, Jesus. You have to save me. And one baptism. That, don't get too focused in on. Well, were you all under? Were you all the way under the water, or were you? What happened there? Try to get the thought that baptism is really says, hey, you're unified with Christ. You're in union with Him. That's the whole point. Okay, it's not about the water. We thank God for the water, and then one God and Father. One, 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 one. Seven times. Paul says, you work at focusing in on this here. Work at it. Don't let it go. Get committed to it. Get excited about it. Move toward Jesus and you will move toward His people. That's why Paul, for example, he was against the idea of super apostles. You know what a super apostle was? It was a believer who said, yeah, I know you're a Christian, but I'm a good Christian. or there's some things I know that God has only shown to me, and you know, maybe I'll tell you about them if the time is right. And so they kind of had themselves up on a plane, higher level than others. Paul was very much against that. It's kind of a form of monasticism. He really steered people away from the idea of, I got some secrets here that nobody's discovered in 2,000 years of following Jesus. And wait till I tell you. Aren't you going to be thrilled? He said, look, your strength comes from Jesus alone. There's certainly enough mystery in Him to keep your soul occupied forever. For example, in a family, a dad has two children. He has a 24-year-old son who's an engineer, very competent, skilled, intelligent, and he has a 10-year-old daughter who's disabled and in a wheelchair. Okay, now, the way they live out being a part of that family is going to be a lot different in terms of responsibilities and things they do. But they both have an equal relationship with dad, don't they? They have equal access to dad. In fact, dad loves them both 100% the same. And in fact, they're heirs of whatever dad has. He's going to share with both of those children. Right? There's no super apostles in that family there. So the unity is based on Christ. You work on it with your whole heart, with that humility, patience, love factor. If you know how to do it with your dog, you know how to do it with your brother and sister in Christ. Okay? A little more fully there. False unity. What can sometimes you focus in on that's not going to have you feel like, well, you're one with this person forever because of Jesus? Unity by organization or denomination. Those are blessings, but extreme secondary blessings, we might say. Even denomination will be debatable as to the blessing. But I was a member for, a good 10, 15 years of a Presbyterian church, and they are really noted for being well organized. Fantastic structure of responsibilities and things like that. But nationally, boy, the Presbyterian church has gone through a tough time, had two major splits in the last 40 years. And I talk about big time splits, thousands of people, going hither and yon. And so it's not the organization that's going to keep you together. It's going to be Jesus or nothing. Denomination, pretty much the same thing. It's good to say, well, we love Alliance people. That's true. I know in the Alliance itself, for the first 80 years or so, there was a hesitancy to even call the believers a denomination. We wanted to be a missionary society. A bunch of Christians getting together and saying, let's follow Jesus and let's pass on the gospel. And it's been said the more of a denomination you try to be, occasionally you're going to find yourself apart from other believers and eventually start to stress things other than Jesus. I don't know if that's always the case. Also, false unity by personality, politics, race, or age. That's self-explanatory. Christ as the head of the church. John is emphasizing that, John Pelz in Sunday School, and perhaps we'll get into this church function in the summer, I believe. Certainly not a unity by spiritual gifts. I meet with a bunch of pastors once a month, and I'm about as unified with them as I am with you. Just because we all preach don't mean, we feel really close, or we are really close. It's because of Christ that a person grows together. Same thing in your family. What are you going to do? If you have 10, or say 5 people in your family, 4 of them are musicians, and one of them, wants to be an astronaut. The musician's going to say, forget about the astronaut. What's he going to do up on the moon? The music up there. It's not going to unify people. Your relationship to Christ. Someone said, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter if the Christians around you are your kind of people, with your kind of music, and your kind of Bible. What really matters is, that you have a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what really matters. So you throw yourself into Him. Oh, here's a goodie. By unity by worship particulars. Okay. And that means, for example, as a pastor, my natural bent is, unless there's a sermon in the worship service, it's a crummy worship service. Okay. That I can't be unified on the basis of that. Here's a test to give yourself. Worship just wouldn't be worship without blank. You fill in the blank. Worship just wouldn't be worship without. Fill in the blank. If you put anything but Jesus and His Spirit in there, of course, the people being there, Jesus and His Spirit, that you and I, at that point, we become in danger of having a sacred cow. You know what a sacred cow is? It's what the Israelites built. See, they didn't reject God totally. They said, we want God, but we want something that would be, that we could kind of connect to, a golden cow. Who would not want a golden cow? So they said, this is really where it's at. This is what worship and God is all about, this golden cow. God had to come down and say, hey, worship is me inviting you to me. See, with Christ at the center. No one goes to the Father except by Him. So the unity that Jesus would give us, very powerful to face maybe selfishness we have. And you think of the church, such a genius creation by God. Every race. In fact, just in the past supposedly 10 years, there's people in every nation who now believe in Jesus. Every race, every age, every background, you know, and connected to Christ. What matters, the unity of the Spirit that they have at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Moving quickly here, some things to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's from Pastor Hughes, by the way. The peacemaker is a fighter. In other words, you get in there and you work for unity. Work to keep people towards Jesus. You might say, you know, I want people together with Christ. And that's what I'm sold out to. Romans 14:19. Make every effort, same phrase, to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. So I'm going to do all I can so that you feel at peace with other people, with the Lord, and you're being built up. You make that effort as a Christian. You be a fighter for peace, fighter to keep the unity. Peacemaker is honest. Ezekiel 13:10 says, don't say peace, peace, if the wall is flimsy. In other words, when there's a problem, you have to go after the problem in your own soul or somebody else's soul. You do so trying to help. The peacemaker follows the pain. Well, weep with those who weep. Be compassionate. If somebody in my extended family, which is, well, probably 20 of us, you know, is out of sorts, isn't it true that, man, I wish, you know, Aunt Mary would come and be here, and she's not here, and we miss her. And it doesn't matter what the reason is. Somebody's going to call her and say, hey, we miss her. You come back here. You know. That's why I'm my big dream as a pastor, yet to be fulfilled, by the way. Interesting, I wonder if Pastor Wood had this fulfillment. That'd be a particular Sunday where everybody would come to worship who was connected to the church. We're talking about everybody. You know. I mean, just for the sake of a little mini picture of heaven, that eventually that will happen. So the peacemaker follows the pain. The peacemaker maintains the relationship over being right over non-essentials. I talk about this about 10 times when I meet with couples who are about to get married. Paul said, hey, you feel one day sacred? That's good. This guy feel another day sacred? That's good. Keep following the Lord. And don't get away from each other just because of that. It's more important for you to be together than you to be right about that sacred day. All right? I told the people at the first service, unless somebody's talking about an essential of the Christian life, that is who Jesus is and God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the work of salvation and so on. When somebody wants to be divisive to you about something, about an issue, you know what you do? You just go, ugh. Just yawn. You say, you know what? That's not important to me. You know what's important to me? Following Jesus is important to me. And are you excited about that? The maintain the unity of the Spirit, completely humble and gentle to one another, and look what God can do. I think these are beautiful pictures in closing. In the book of Revelation, there God says, oh, it'll be like paradise again. There'll be the tree of life, and there'll be river there, and the river of life is somewhat Jesus sometimes in the Bible. And then it says, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. There's something happened when we're connected to Christ, and we have that closeness only from Him, that what he is gets passed on from our soul to others. It helps some healing happen in people's lives. And God could pull that off. What a great picture. Even nation to nation gets healed, you know. Not a modern example, America and Canada, you know, we haven't fought for 150 years. Good for us. You know, who could pull that off except Jesus? And someday when He comes back, of course, that'll happen from shore to shore around the world. But you be like a leaf on a tree for the healing of other people. And again, you're getting away from the idea that it's not a man-made thing. It's not the Tower of Babel unity. It's the unity of the one foundation who is Jesus. And when that happens, Jesus said, oh, people will know He was sent. I like this quote. No man goes to heaven alone. John Wesley. I think Nancy Cumming, the last person we know who went to heaven, she don't go alone. First of all, Jesus took her. And secondly, she influenced others who were going to be there. See? So when you go to heaven, because you're connected to Christ and others, you want to say, well, I'm going not by myself, but with loved ones that God, you know, gave me the privilege of knowing and loving through our life. Might we, as His people, work to maintain that unity and that just focus in, like Paul said, that one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one hope, one God and Father. That's a pretty solid glue to keep you together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for anyone here who would have problems with that unity question, and our selfishness does kick against it. We do say, well, Lord, make us one, like You're one with the Father. We'll agree with You in that prayer. And might it be a testimony to Your goodness, not to a lifestyle that everybody just kind of floats along doing it, nothing, but rather makes every effort to follow You together. And You pull that off amazingly throughout history, and we give You all the credit. Might it work in our key relationships? Might it work with our brothers and sisters in Christ? In Jesus' name, amen.